Chase McCabe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, for weekly driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, and one huge weekend event. Go to musiccitygp.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event on August 4th through the 6th. Really looking forward to that. Also looking forward to our conversation with Jonathan Hutton. Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is the show. 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Hutton joins us now. What's up, Hut?
Chase, good morning. Thank you for moving this up a bit. It got me out of a meeting, so it's a great way to start the Monday.
I am here to help you, and to be 100% honest with you, it was so John McClain could join me at 10:30, and I know how much John McClain means to you. So,
yeah, no doubt. He could have done back-to-back hours if he wanted to. I would not have my feelings hurt whatsoever.
You've obviously seen running backs over the years. There's obviously a pretty good running back that plays for the Tennessee Titans, but it seems that they're all banding together right now. They had this Zoom over the weekend that included Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, and basically looking at the position as a whole and if it is devalued. And my take on it is it's not necessarily devalued. It's simple supply and demand. And teams look at it as, even though there are special backs, like with the one that is in Nashville with Derrick Henry, but you can replace that production because there's a lot of talent out there. How do you view this, and do you ever see it changing?
Well, you know, the Zoom, first off, the producers that we're discussing, namely Saquon Barkley, when healthy, Josh Jacobs in a contract year, Derrick Henry in a year, Austin Eckler is severely underpaid compared to his production. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey is the highest paid per year and is as dynamic as they come when healthy. And I think the when healthy is the caveat here for the position that's, you know, with the wear and tear, the money's not going to be there based on the salary structure and the domination that the players allowed the league to have, allowed the owners and the general managers, the teams to have when they negotiated the collective bargaining agreement. I agree with what the top of the class is saying in regards to the pay structure. They don't look at it this way, but they did this to themselves, just like they'll do it again when they negotiate. And here's why. It's not out of spite. It's not out of, you know, not looking out for the player. The veterans look out for the veterans. And here's what I mean, Chase. When they renegotiated the collective bargain agreement, this was back whenever Kevin Mawai was the NFLPA president and Damore Smith, this is 2011. What they did up until then, the rookies would come into camp and hold out. The rookies would come into camp and get massive signing bonuses. They would get big time contracts, and the veterans got pissed off because the rookies were making more than the vets. So, what they do in the next CBA negotiation, there are two areas that were completely ignored. Kids in college, you know, the veterans in the NFL aren't going to negotiate on behalf of the kids in college, and they're not negotiating on behalf of the agents. And why I say that is a lot of the agents now, the top tier agents that have the top players, they're like first round guys, they are waiving their 3% on the first contract because the first contract is slotted now. There's really not a lot to negotiate. And what they want is that second deal. So the veterans got theirs, and what it did is it flipped a bit on that, paired with the new rules and how they've tweaked things to be more of an offensive league. It's much more difficult on an island as a corner and they're protecting the quarterback now. They're not protecting running backs, they're protecting quarterbacks. All of that paired together has led to where we are, where, I mean, you've got Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs not wanting to sign their franchise tag. They eventually will, because it's $10 million guaranteed. Saquon would be giving up over $590,000 per game if he sits out in any game. Right now, they're not going to get fined because they're technically not under contract. They haven't signed. So they're not going to get $50,000 a day on a fine for missing camp. but it's going to be perceived that they're disgruntled. They're disgruntled. There's just nothing they can do about it. And if they're on the Zoom call, I think partially that was admitted. And then the other thing was, oh, we need our agents to go to bat for us. Well, the agents aren't going to do anything when their hands are tied based on the rules that were agreed upon by Damora Smith and by the NFLPA, which continues to be the weakest among the PAs in pro sports in America.
Which is unbelievable, that statement you just made, but it's 100%
true. But it is unbelievable, but also keep in mind, like, they're getting more than what they had. So that was the power that they were going into and up against. And there's still a ton of money that is being raked in. And some teams do pay running backs. It's just not every team. Every team pays for the most part. Every team's going to pay a wide receiver. Every team's going to pay a quarterback, even if they're not that good. You're going to pay a corner. You're going to pay some of the top tackles. Running backs further down that list now, and Derrick Henry is the second or third highest paid running back in the league this year, and he's barely on the field on third down. So, you know, and he should be, by the way. This is not me saying I want my best player on the field. Derrick Henry's their best offensive weapon, but he's off the field a lot on third down. And that's just how they choose to use the running back position now compared to the way they did.
Do you think that changes now that they have DeAndre Hopkins, or is it still, you think, going to be status quo and they'll put Spears or whoever out there to a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield?
Yeah, I think with Spears, they have an opportunity to be more of a two back and actually have a threat. Because I think there will be opportunities, Chase, and I'm eager to see how they pace him during camp, him being Henry. There will be opportunities for Spears to be on the field quite a bit. And I wonder if we don't see Spears have series, not just one or two snaps per possession, but series where we see him out there if he's productive. I don't know. I doubt it's scripted. I'm not taking Henry off the field on purpose. But if you can get something out of Spears in the passing game that, you know, everyone's talking about, everyone that I've talked to about him, and why you take the risk on a guy that won't admit whether or not he has an ACL. I think there's more use for him than just riding the bench the way we've seen Haskins or past running backs do the same thing.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from OutKick. So the news comes out Friday that after this entire offseason and talking about Kevin Byard and whether he would take a pay cut and how it was disrespectful to ask him to take a pay cut, he restructures his contract and ultimately takes a pay cut. Now, I know he can get it back there with incentives, but how likely is that? Why do you think we got to this point?
Well, I think they came back to the table and did in a different way. Meaning the pay cut earlier, the way it was portrayed to me, a pay cut and the approach is just, hey, here's your number, take it. We need you to take this number. A restructure is moving money around, but the player's still going to get his money. It's either going to be in incentives that are quote unquote likely to be earned, or it's going, like, for instance, next year he has a $4 million roster bonus. Kevin Byard does. Well, if he doesn't get that, he's getting more money. He's either getting traded and he's getting that somewhere else, or he's going to get some money in a new signing somewhere else because he's going to get cut. So he'll get a signing bonus there too. So he's going to get that money next year. Whereas this year, if he just took the signing, I won't be making sense here. If he just takes the pay cut this year, there's no extra money coming in and you're just losing that. So again, the way I would view this is if I'm the player, I want to be restructured and then have a bonus next year if I'm taking the pay cut, or if I'm cut next year because of the roster bonus, I'm going to get some of that money in a signing bonus elsewhere. And that would not have been the case if he takes the cut this year. It's just money he's guaranteed not to make. Now he's got the opportunity to make that money. And again, it's moving money around in his contract, which he's done before. And we didn't hear a whole lot about him doing that whenever they're trying to make room for certain players that came in here, because again, Byard's still getting paid. in the first approach, I don't get the sense that the tone was all about that as much as it was taking the cut. Now it's more more player friendly, but still team friendly. If you catch my drift there, and I think Rand Carthon did a nice job of trying to bridge that in what was a weird 3 or 4 weeks where it was just kind of a stalemate out in the open before the owners' meetings back in what was this, March or May? I believe it was May whenever this all went down.
Yeah, I think it. I mean, it's been going on for a while, and I guess now.
Well, Carthon spoke about it in May for the first time, but I think it was right after the draft is whenever this got out.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, let me take that back again. Right before, because there was talk that he could be traded during that. Remember? So
yeah,
it went on a while.
Players report. Vrabel will speak tomorrow. Training camp is officially here. What is the biggest question on your mind as the Titans open camp?
Yeah, I mean, it immediately goes to Hopkins and Burks, and how fast Tannehill gets a rapport with Hopkins. There have been camps, Chase, where, and I don't blame this mentality, but it just hasn't worked out. There have been camps where they have tried to keep their veterans healthy. You know, it was the Julio Jones camp.
Mm-hmm.
Where they went down to Tampa and they played the backups, and the backups ended up playing the regular season anyway because everyone got hurt. Last year, more veterans played in the preseason. Everyone got hurt. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to the approach. They've got to play these guys. They've got to get in sync. You know, there's kind of this there's been this fog over, okay, who is this team all off season? Or is this a team that's looking for 2024, 25, whenever the contracts expire and they're starting to really rebuild and have the new era? Because they've done the same thing in the draft. They drafted a backup quarterback. They drafted a backup running back. They've gone out and signed a free agent. We've seen this before. Okay, what's different? Who is this team? Henry's back. Tannehill's back. Okay, defense should be good. Now they have to gel, and this has to be a group that. And Vrabel does, I think, a good job this time of year of balancing the priority of just staying healthy for September, which is so difficult. But also making sure that you steal reps. You don't have to go full speed, but you can steal reps in a glorified walkthrough that's more of a jog and a full speed type mentality. They've got to get Hopkins in and going, and I think that's a no-brainer. Beyond that, the offensive line, and we're not going to know that until the joint practices. It's like Dylan Radin's his rookie year when he was, you know, moving around and all, you know, OTAs and mini camps, man, this kid really good, you know, and then they have that joint practice and he was quickly a backup after that. You can tell who's ready and who's not. And I think the focus should be on the center position with Ben Jones not there and the communication up front. That is pivotal to what everything is going to do or not going to happen for this team, because you can have Henry, you can bring in Hopkins, you can do all these things. Can they protect their quarterback? It comes down to that. And those are the two areas I'm looking for. I think the defense is going to be okay. Yeah. They're not a huge concern, even though we had the discussion, if we're overlooking that area, there's so many questions on offense. We have to overlook defense because we have to find answers there, because that's holding them back. Or it did last year. 16 to 18 points a game is pathetic. And it starts up front of the offensive line. And there have been changes. Even guys that they didn't want to have leave that were so crucial, like Ben Jones, are no longer there.
He's Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Hutt, good to talk to you. Appreciate it. Talk next week.
Sounds great. I was with Eddie George last night and Javon Kearse and Kevin Dyson, a number of other former Titans. They all love the Love You Blue legacy jerseys, throwbacks, whatever you want to call them. I think the NFL's calling them legacy jerseys. They're fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to the two games and the first home game, not the first home game, but the home game where they'll unveil them is going to be awesome.
Oh, I think it'll be cool. And I hope they paint the field, Oilers and everything. Just go all out with it. I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a blast. I'm really glad they're doing this, and I like the league's finally. It's like whenever I left the farm when I graduated high school and went to college, my dad finally went and got the zero turn mower. You know, to mow. you know, it never happened whenever I was in high school, but, you know, soon enough, like immediately, zero turmoil. Finally, the NFL is allowing them to do different helmet colors.
Yeah.
Finally. And that's what made this, that's what makes this uniform is the different helmet.
100%. We'll talk next week, Hutt. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Coming up next, there was something I saw over the weekend that has to do with soccer that got my attention, and I think it will get a lot of attention. We'll talk about that next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.